You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call planet Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you joining us for the very first time, a special welcome. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. Now, without further ado, let me just jump right into what we're going to do here tonight. I do have to tell you that this week is sort of a tech week here. That means we're installing new equipment and software. And that means that there may be one or two shows this week that are classic encore presentations, but not tonight. We are going to be talking about this very amazing UFO sighting. Several sightings, actually, that have been taking place in Stephenville, Texas. And we're going to be talking to an eyewitness who is, I think someone that you'll find quite interesting and certainly very, very credible. Now, I want to say, before we get into all of this evening, that I want to applaud some in the press for treating this story with the journalistic integrity that all news deserves. You know, one of the complaints that I have and that you've heard me say over and over and over about mass media and the big press, big media, has been the long-standing tendency, I guess, for them to ridicule anything that has to do with UFOs rather than just reporting the story. Well, we had that very excellent report out of the Chicago newspaper dealing with the O'Hare incident. And now, it seems more press have turned the corner and are reporting reasonably and rationally and with integrity about this event in Stephenville, Texas. I want to congratulate specifically a couple of people in the press for doing just that. One of them is Lana Berkowitz from the Houston Chronicle. What a great article she wrote. Just the facts, just the news. And the subtitle of the article says, "Despite ridicule, more people are reporting UFO sightings." And listen to this opening paragraph. A pilot, county constable, and business owners were listed as the witnesses for a recent UFO sighting in Stephenville. These credible, upstanding people reported seeing a large, silent object with bright lights flying low and fast. The size has been estimated as a mile long and half a mile wide. The report goes on to just report the facts, what's happening, what people said, what they saw. It is an excellent article. Lana Berkowitz of the Houston Chronicle is to be, in my opinion, applauded for treating this with journalistic integrity. There is a TV news reporter that I will mention when we come back, and when we come back, we'll be talking with that county constable. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hairdryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. And welcome to our discussion this evening of the Stephenville UFO sightings, and our very special guest, County Constable Leroy Guyton. And I may be saying his name wrongly. It may be Guyton. We'll find out in just a moment. I think I did pronounce it wrong. But let me set this up by saying that Stephenville, Texas, it's an area that I'm familiar with. In fact, I've been there. Back when the year right after dirt was invented, I was in high school, and I was in a jazz band, and we played at the Tarleton State Jazz Festival, Tarleton State College Jazz Festival, which is in Stephenville. It's a town of about 15,400 people. It is literally Bible Belt, salt of the earth, great people, and very much, you know, feet on the ground, really have a grip on the world around them kind of people. And we're privileged to have one of them with us this evening, Constable Leroy Gayton, or Gayton. How do I pronounce that, Leroy?
Close enough, but pronounce it Gayton.
Gayton.
Yes, sir.
You're mentioned, not by name, but you're mentioned in this article in the Houston Chronicle in the opening paragraph when the writer, Lana Berkowitz, says a pilot, a county constable, and business owners were listed as the witnesses. And you have no doubt been contacted by all kinds of media since all of this began. I hope that your experience with the media has been positive. Perhaps it has been mixed. I don't know, but it certainly will be positive here tonight. And thank you for being with us. Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Glad to be with you tonight.
All right. Now, Stephenville is located in Erath County, right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And you are a constable in Erath County. For those living outside of the United States, you may not be familiar with that terminology. A constable is a law enforcement officer. And how would you like for me to refer to you, as Constable or Leroy or Mr. Gayton?
Leroy would be fine.
Okay, Leroy. How long have you lived in Erath County?
I've lived in Erath County approximately 34 years. I left for just a short period of time, came back, but there's no other place on earth I'd rather live. This is home, and I'll probably die here.
You heard my description of that part of Texas. Would you say that was an accurate description?
Yes, sir. I would agree with you. That is an accurate description.
Not far from Stephenville is Dublin, Texas. How far is that?
Dublin is located 12 miles south of Stephenville. We're in Erath County. It's the southern part of the county of Erath.
Years ago, I had a friend. I haven't seen him in years, but had a friend, a close friend, who had been a pastor in Dublin, Texas, and amazingly had also been previously a pastor in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And I say amazingly because those are two places. Now Dublin is in the news along with Stephenville, about the UFO sighting. And then, of course, Los Alamos being in New Mexico is always, people are always talking about UFOs there. I don't think that he was a witness to any UFOs, but just kind of a coincidence, I guess. He happened to have been a pastor in both places. When did these sightings begin, Leroy?
Well, actually, my experience took place the night of January the 8th. I believe it was a Tuesday night, to the best recall. Of course, there's been several others that I've heard of. I really don't know if they're accurate or not, but I know my experience was the night of January the 8th. I remember that because that is my wife's birthday.
You'd better remember that.
I do remember.
Well, a belated happy birthday to Mrs. Gayton.
Thank you. I'll tell her y'all said so.
Tell us about this sighting that you had. Where were you, and what did you see?
Basically, I was at my house. I live just outside of Dublin, like I said, Dublin, south of Stephenville. I live about 2.5 miles out. It was about 7 o'clock, maybe a little bit after, and we're going to stay home to rent a movie, myself and the kids and my wife, and I walked out to my patrol car where my wallet was at to get my credit card. As I was walking back in, I noticed a red glow light off to the southern west sky, not too far away from where I was at. I'd say probably within 500 yards. I looked at it, and, of course, it was really strange. I'd never seen anything like it. It had a red, bright glow, fiery glow. As I stared at this light, it faded away. Well, to my surprise, it reappeared right next to where I'd seen it. Again, it lasted just a couple, a few seconds, I guess, and it faded away. I knew something wasn't right, so I went inside and I told my wife, and was probably in the house, probably just 30 seconds, came back outside. My little 8-year-old boy followed me, and as I went back outside looking for the red glow, did not see the red lights anymore, but instead I saw several white lights in the sky, very bright, almost a strobe. They were so bright and so quick, the flashes, that I knew it was not an airplane. And I knew this by the way they were moving around. They were, not only were they flickering, but they were bouncing around side to side, up and down. It just wasn't normal. I ran to my car, got my binoculars, trying to get a better look to see exactly what it was that I was seeing. To my surprise, I couldn't see anything other than the white flashes. I was having trouble keeping up with them. They were spread out throughout the sky. I'd say probably, well, I believe I counted 9. My little boy counted 10. As they danced around the sky, I had trouble, like I said, focusing in my binoculars. There, after about maybe 2 minutes, they stopped bouncing around. They were still strobing. And all in one sequence, they shot off at a high rate of speed towards the northeast sky, where I lost sight of them. I compared the speed to the speed of light. It was just so quick that I could not keep up with my binoculars, and just as quick as I saw them, they were gone.
And, now, when they stopped bouncing around and they were just all on.
Yep.
What shape were they in? Were they in a straight line, or were they...
No, they were not. Best that I recall, it was no particular outline. They were just, you know, they were... I thought about that after I saw that. The reason of me getting my binoculars was to see exactly what this was. And I knew that it couldn't be an airplane, not even a helicopter. But I was hoping I would be able to see exactly what these lights were attached to. Again, I couldn't see what they were attached to, if anything. But your question, I can't recall. It was nothing that would just pop out at you and say, okay, it was a triangle or, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh. How high was it?
I would say approximately... I'm not no expert at height, but I'd say 3,000 to 5,000 feet. It was not as high as an airliner, but they were high. They were just real low ground.
All right. Now, they were spread out across the sky. So, if they're about say 3,000 to 5,000 feet up, how long would you say this area was where the lights were?
I would say at least a mile to a mile, maybe even larger, bigger space.
About a mile, or maybe larger.
I mean, that's what I'm estimating. I mean, you know, when you look up in the sky and see an area, of course, a mile is, you know, it doesn't seem as far up in the sky. Like I said, I couldn't be exact how far or how high these lights were, but they were not just closely bunched together.
One of the stories, Leroy, that some of the press tried to float early was a story, a report of an Air Force reservist who I can't remember his rank or his first name. His last name was Lewis. But he said that, maybe this was just an optical illusion that was created by a couple of commercial airliners. Do you buy that? Could it be that?
No, sir, I don't buy that. And I'm sure he has his reasons to make that comment. And with all due respect, there was no way that could be. I know what I saw. It was already dark. I'd heard also maybe it was the reflection of the... of the sun. The sun had been gone for over an hour. But no, it was certainly something. I do not know what it is. Like I said, I know what I saw, and like I said, I'm sure this colonel probably has his reasons for saying what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to disrespect him, but other than life, I don't know what it was. It was not an illusion, like they say.
Mm-hmm. Now, your son saw it. What was his reaction to it? Was he excited? Was he frightened?
No, he was very excited. He didn't know what it was, and later on, I'm sure, initially he was jumping up and down. What is it, Daddy? What is it? And I kept saying, I don't know. And anyway, it wasn't until later that I said, jokingly say it was UFO, and he's heard the terminology UFO, and he knows UFO as an alien spacecraft, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that I know that the next day he went to school and telling everybody he'd seen a UFO, and Paul, no telling what else he said.
Well, I'm hard on the media. I grant you I am part of the media. I'm hard on the media because the media creates all kinds of nonsense just to get ratings or to sell. But the term UFO has absolutely nothing to do with alien.
Exactly.
In all truthfulness, it simply means there's something up there. I don't know what it is.
Right.
And that's all UFO means. Now, we discuss on this show a lot of times, we discuss, the possibility of some of them being alien, and people come on this show and talk about having had contact with aliens and so forth. But the term UFO itself only means it's up there, it's real, and I don't know what it is. So this thing could be of extraterrestrial origin, or it could be of terrestrial origin. Either way, at a mile in length, that goes way beyond anything I know of that we fly. Admittedly, I don't know everything we fly, but I've never seen anything we fly that is... that even approaches that size. Right now, as a matter of fact, Boeing is developing a new aircraft to compete against the new Airbus 380. And it's very futuristic. Very, very futuristic. Doesn't look like any aircraft that you've ever seen flying in the skies. But it only seats 1,000 people. Now, that's a lot of people, but it's not a mile from wingtip to wingtip.
Right.
What do you think?
I don't know. In my heart, I really believe it's some type of military project. Reason being, military, the personnel they spoke to, and my understanding they spoke to, personnel at a base, which is about 100 miles from my house, from where I saw these lights in that direction. Air Force, I believe, base is Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene. Shortly after seeing these lights beat off or disappearing, whatever you want to use or whatever you want to say, that's how I describe it. I did see what to me were military jets flying in the same path as these lights had flown by just previously. I believe they said that there were no planes or jets in the air. I think it was some type of military exercise with a weapon or something. I don't know. But I really do believe the military did have something to do with this.
It's common, very common for, and I'm not saying that they are lying, but I'm just saying it is common to hear, well, we didn't have anything in the skies. In 1992, I was still, I think I told you, I'm a former police officer, and I was still a cop. On Christmas Eve, 1992, I was off. First time I had been off on Christmas Eve in years. And so I didn't see this happen, but there was a huge UFO sighting in our area, and I have a tape of it, and I play it every once in a while. And they ask for headquarters to contact the airport and ask the air traffic controllers if they have anything on their scopes. And the report came back from the airport, there is nothing in the sky right now. And you hear the deputy say, headquarters, did I hear you right? Did you say they have nothing in the sky? I see five planes right now. And so that's not uncommon. That's for whatever reasons that seems to happen. How many people saw this thing, Leroy?
Like I said, I'm really not sure. I've heard different reports. First, I had heard 30. And then I heard 50, and there are some pretty prominent people that have notified me and have called me that wish not to go on record that claim they saw what I saw. Matter of fact, I had one call me tonight, and he was telling me. He said, "Hey," he said, "you know, I saw what you saw, and may have some evidence of what I saw." He's going to call me tonight. He asked me not to go public yet, mm-hmm. But I can't disclose exactly what he said he had for me to see. But like I said, there's been several. If it is indeed 30 or 50, that's only the numbers that have come forward. I'm sure there's several others. Or at least I know that I had a preacher call me just over the weekend. Said one of the members, an elderly woman, had seen a lot, something very similar to what I saw, and she was afraid to come forward. So, again, I really don't know. It's just what I've heard, but I do know personally that there's been a few people that have contacted me that claim they'd seen some strange lights as well on this particular night.
Well, I want to say again how much I appreciate you coming forward, and I'm not trying at this point to bring this to an end. I'm just reiterating something. I think it's important for community leaders to lead. And this is an issue right here where, you know, people are afraid of what other people are going to say or what they may think. And it's important for the community's leaders to lead and to say, yes, it was up there. I don't know what it was, but it was up there. Because that gives them a little more courage to report what they've seen. And I think it's very important. I think it's vitally important. And I think you've done a great thing by doing that. But let me ask you, now we've only got a minute or so here before we hit the break. And we'll come back after the break and discuss it some more. You know, it's always been my philosophy that other people aren't paying my bills, so I really don't care what they think.
I agree. In my position, a constable is an elected position, so I have a lot to lose. I'm very grateful that this is an election year, and I did not have an opponent. So I'm in office for four more years with another year, so we're looking at five. And even if it would have been where I had an opponent, I've always been one that really don't care what critics may say. I feel like if I'm doing the right thing, I'm going to do the right thing. So
absolutely. All right. Just hang on a little bit. We'll come back after this break. And I've got some more questions about What's going on down in Erath County in the skies above Erath County? We'll be back with Constable Leroy Gayton after this. We are back. My guest this evening is Constable Leroy Gayton from Erath County over in Texas, where these rather amazing UFO sightings have been taking place. Leroy, have you ever heard of a sighting that took place back in the 90s here in, I'm in Phoenix, and
yes,
they call them the Phoenix Lights?
Yes, I did. I remember itself got a lot blessed. I remember seeing the videos and watching it on the news.
You know, one of the things that I notice about this sighting or this set of sightings in Texas that's different. I mean, the descriptions are different anyway, but one of the big things that I notice is that it's being treated with much more integrity in journalism by most of the journalists that I've seen, and it's being in this case, you have business leaders and community leaders coming forward and saying, okay, we're not going to buy these cover stories. We know what we saw. It was not an airplane. It was low, it was fast, and it was silent. Would that fit your description? Low, fast, and silent?
It was certainly silent, and it was certainly fast. And like I said, it wasn't extremely high, especially, like I said, the initial two red lights that I saw. And my as I recall reading and listening to other people saying that it appeared to be a lot lower to the ground than what I had seen.
All right. I got to ask a question, and I should have written this down, but you're going to have to help me with this if you can. There is a news reporter on a station. I can't even remember the call letters now. I think it's Channel 33, and her last name is Hernandez.
Yes.
Is that yes. Susan?
I do not remember, but actually I was checking my email a little while. I had an email from her, but yes, it is Hernandez, but I do not recall the first name.
Okay, I've seen the video on the internet of her report on this, and I want to commend her as well, because she treated this with journalistic integrity. She didn't laugh at it. She didn't ridicule it. And I told her, Leroy, one of the real problems that you run into when you start looking at news reports of UFO incidents, you have a group of reporters on one extreme that take the attitude, oh my God, this is it. And then you take you have another group of reporters on the other extreme, and their attitude is, all these people are hallucinating. And she didn't go to either extreme. She stayed right there with the facts. And as one cop to another, let me ask you if you've had this happen. I used to be told things as a law enforcement officer. I would get told things in the course of my duties by the public that at first blush, you would say, that just can't be that way. And then you do some investigating, and you find out, by golly, it was that way.
Sure.
And
sure.
They told you just exactly what happened, even though my own mind would say it can't be. It turned out that, by George, it was. It was, you know, just what they told me.
Right.
And you've had that happen?
Yes, I have, and I have, and I will tell you of all, and I've met with several members of the media, and quite, I guess I was quite surprised that all of them, every single one, there was not one that joked about it. They took it seriously, and it made me very happy, because I really felt like if I would have maybe come across one or two, I probably wouldn't have spoke and met with as many people as I have. So the media as a whole, they've been excellent, they've been great, they've been very respectful, and I appreciate the way they've handled this.
Well, see, that's a big difference between what's happening in Texas and what happened in Phoenix years ago. There's been a sea change, really, in the media on this, and I think it started, really, with that report that came out of the Chicago Tribune, or was it Tribune or Sun-Times, about the O'Hare incident. They treated that as any other news story and just reported the facts. And there was a tremendous response, a positive response from the public about that, and I think other media have picked up on it. Let's talk about the media and your area right now. The media from all over the nation has descended on your area. Has it changed life much?
Not really. I mean, there were several that I did speak with, and several that I was not able to speak with. But little town like Dublin and Stephenville. Dublin population, I believe, is under 5,000. So we're not used to having media in our town. But, you know, the community people really accepted the media. And, it was the big deal to some of the people. I have heard some comments from a few people that, hey, I wish the media wouldn't cover our little towns and expose our people like they are. But, hey, it comes with it. But it to me and as a whole, it really hasn't changed anything. I think here in maybe a week or two, things will go back to normal, and everything will be behind us.
You know, Dublin is one of the best kept secrets in Texas.
Oh yeah,
it is a beautiful place and really cordial, nice people, and it's one of those places you read about in storybooks and you say those just don't exist anymore except in books, but it does right. In Dublin, and I'd encourage people, I'm not going to do that, but yeah, if you ever get a chance to visit Dublin, don't descend upon them in hordes, but what a great place. I've talked with other witnesses today, and I want to ask you something that I've asked others. Has anybody, since this happened, has anyone, official, pressured you to keep your mouth shut?
No, not at all whatsoever. Let me describe the position that I have. I am in this position because of the people. The people vote me in. I do not have one particular supervisor or boss that I answer to. I do have commissioners that set my budget and basically just oversee my money in my office. They're all great people. The county judge, great people. I have not had one person to this date call me and say, "Hey, we need to tone it down. Let's not talk anymore." I have not. I really believe my credibility here in New Rath County and with my peers is pretty good, and I think for that reason, I have not had anybody say, "Hey, you need to be careful."
Have you been approached by anyone from the federal government that tried to pressure you and tell you to tone it down or shut it up?
No, not to my knowledge. Now, I did get a couple of calls, more than a couple, that I suspected may not be an ordinary citizen like they claim to be by some of the questions. And, of course, I was very careful on what I said. But it really crossed my mind that possibly, hey, the person I'm talking to is not who they're telling me they are. So officially, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just speculating, and I may be wrong, but that's, again, my opinion.
Now, you've talked with, you mentioned this, you've talked with some others who don't really want to come forward. Have they said why?
Some others, the particular person I spoke with earlier, is not in the same position as I am. And my understanding, I met with a gentleman by the name of James Fox today, who's doing a documentary on this. He was on the Larry King show the other night. And he went on to mention to me that some of the people at O'Hare Airport in Chicago were threatened with their jobs if they spoke to the media. And I think a couple of these people, matter of fact, I know, are afraid of that, are afraid to speak publicly because of their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that is a reason that a bunch of the people do not want. It's not so much the embarrassment that they think somebody might cause them, but I really think they fear for their occupations, their livelihoods. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's unfortunate, because that means that the people they fear, the bosses, don't get it.
Exactly.
And here is what I mean by they don't get it. Something like 85-90% of America, I don't recall the exact figure, but the recent polls done within the last 12 months show that 85-90% of Americans think that UFOs are real and that we have been lied to by officials, and they don't like it. Now, anyone that's in any kind of an official position, ought to take note that the American people are really fed up with being lied to.
Right, I agree.
Now, you know, if, on the other hand, if there are, you know, real national security reasons why they can't tell us the whole truth, okay, cool. I mean, I think most of us are cool with that. On the other hand, what's wrong with saying, yes, there was something there, and we're investigating it? I think that would be the way to handle it, and public officials ought to get it. All right, here we go. It's break time. We'll be back with Leroy Gayton, constable in Texas, right after this. Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back. My guest this evening is Leroy Gayton, and he is a constable in Erath County, and that is the place where these UFO sightings have been taking place. Leroy, let me ask you this. Now, the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, has sent investigators into your area interviewing people. The Houston Chronicle reported that hundreds of people turned out to talk with the investigators one-on-one. Would you say that would be accurate?
I do not know. I did not attend this function for reasons. Now, I did. I was in town early in the morning. That was Saturday, and I saw several people there. I'd say probably, I'd say at least a couple hundred people, maybe more. I do not know. I was contacted by a spokesman, and I am waiting even for him to call me back. But as far as me being present, I was not. So I really do not know exactly what all took place, other than what I heard on the TV.
Well, they certainly took it seriously. Ken Cherry, I believe, is the MUFON director for Texas. And, yeah, he's the Texas State Director. And he said, "In this is a quote, he said, in terms of the number of witnesses, this is an unusual event." And that's saying something because, you know, MUFON investigates a lot of unusual events. And he's saying, you know, that in terms of the number of witnesses, this one is unusual. And that's just sort of gives some more ammunition to what I was saying, some more credence to what I was saying about, you know, people who are afraid to step forward and speak publicly about what they saw need to understand that the majority of America is with them. And the public officials, if there are any, who, and not only public officials, but private business owners, who are threatening their jobs, if there are any, need to get it, that they are out of step with the majority of the nation. And I'm not saying that the majority of the nation thinks that these sightings were extraterrestrial, but to deny they happened, look, you're an American, I'm an American. Do you like to be told you didn't see what you saw?
Not exactly.
I don't know how much time your job requires you to be in court. But defense attorneys...
Quite a lot.
Okay, well, defense attorneys love to put the cop on the stand and try to make it appear he didn't see what he saw or he didn't hear what he heard. Defense attorneys love to do that. I never enjoyed that. I took an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, and that's what I did. And then when the defense attorney would try to turn it around and make it, try to make it appear that I didn't see what I saw, it always upset me. Of course, I couldn't say anything. I was in court, but I never liked that. And the public all across the country doesn't like it when anyone tries to tell them you didn't see what you saw. And it's just goes against the grain. I think it goes against the grain of human nature, but definitely against the grain of American nature. If we say we saw it, we saw it. Would you think that this event has made any major changes in your town, in your part of the country?
I think so, and I not only think in our town and in our part of the country, but I really think nationwide. I think that, of course, there's going to be other sightings, and I really think that I don't know if they'll get the publicity that this one got, but I think in the future they will be taken more serious. Like I said, like this one, the media covered it, and they jumped all over it. For whatever reason, the credibility, I do not know, but I really think, if anything, it helps or in the future, future sightings. I really believe that.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think that for some reason, and this has always puzzled me, and I touched on this a moment ago, but it's always puzzled me. here in this country, we talk about, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, we're free, we're independent, we can have our own opinions and so forth. And then when something weird happens, and this is weird, it's not something that happens every day. When something weird happens, all of a sudden people become herd animals. And they don't want to speak out because they're afraid of what someone else in the herd might say. Well, you know, they saw it too. They're afraid too. Everybody just ease up and say what you saw. And you'll be amazed at the literal thousands, tens of thousands of people all over this country who have seen what you saw. Could you detect any type of propulsion system at all, any exhaust, any trail of light as this thing flew away?
No, and I certainly looked for it. After it disappeared, I'd look for any type of smoke or trail, any sound like a jet would leave, and no, there was nothing. There was nothing, and like I said, the only thing I saw was when the jets flew overhead after this thing was out of sight. But no, there was, and I had, you know, you being a ex-police officer, you know what tunnel vision is, and during this, I had tunnel vision. I was so focused. Though these lights were spread out and moving around, anything around me, I didn't know anything else that was going on. I was so focused on trying to find out and trying to see what these lights were attached to. But I really think that I would have heard it. I asked my little boy, did you hear anything? He said, no. And you know, a little 8-year-old boy is not going to sit there and lie. He's been asked repeatedly by several different people, you know, what did you see? And the story is the exact same, you know. So, to answer your question, I did not see anything. But like I said, there didn't see any type of exhaust or anything like that, anything behind. But again, I know what I saw, and I saw lights, and what they were, I don't know. But I'll stick to that till the day I go to my grave.
You know, and that's commendable. The story they tried to float here is that it was military flares, the Phoenix lights. You know, they tried to say that was military flares. And, I mean, that dog don't hunt. But, let me ask you, if that story, if they try to float that, is there any possibility that this is military flares?
You know, I've been asked by friends, and I don't know. And the reason I say I don't know, I could see maybe the possibility of them bouncing around. Maybe they're burning out. But then, how do you explain these lights taking off in a sequence? That would not be a flare.
Yeah, flares don't tend to launch themselves.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, if these lights would not have left and sped off, I could see maybe a possibility exploring that. But that's where I have a problem believing it was a flare or flares when it shot off.
Flares leave a trail of smoke up in the sky as well.
But you understand what I'm saying, though. Mm-hmm. How it shot off, there is no way a flare is going to do that.
Yeah.
I describe it like if you've taken a needle and gone through every one of these lights and just pulled them on one sequence, they all took off because they appeared to take off all at the same time. And no, there's no way it would have been a flare.
We've just got about a minute until our top of the hour break, and let me ask you, would you be willing to take a call or two from our audience?
Yes, I probably can't take no more than maybe two or three. I am working, and I've got some things to do, but I would take two or three, sir.
Okay, we'll keep it short, and let me say to the audience, if you want to talk with Constable Leroy Gayton, you have a question or a comment,
Go ahead and start calling. I'll put you on hold as we go into the break. But now if I put you on hold, you stay there, all right? You'll know you're on hold because the phone stops ringing. 1-800-289-1092, toll-free throughout North America. We will be back. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are talking this evening with Constable Leroy Gayton from Erath County in Texas, site of a very major UFO sighting, hundreds of people, as reported by Houston Chronicle, saw it. And Leroy, let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where? You see, what did I tell you, folks? I said, if you call me during the break, I'll put you on hold. Do not hang up. And someone, what did they do? Hung up. All right. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment for Constable Leroy Gayton, who is a witness to this UFO event. And in my opinion, very bravely, courageously, and very rightly has come forward to say, yes, I saw it. Don't know what it was, but there it was. This is what it looked like. And we need more public officials. He is an elected official. We need more public officials to do the same when these kind of things happen. We need them to step forward and say what they saw. And I think that takes some of the mystique out of it for the media, but that's good. It's a sea change for the media. They can go back to reporting facts. Leroy, and folks, if you're going to call, call now, because he's got to leave us. All right, 1-800-289-1092. That's the number to call, toll free. Leroy, taking into account everything that has happened since you came forward and said, yeah, I saw it, here's what I saw. Now, taking into account everything that's happened, everything you've experienced since then, if you had this to do again, would you come forward and report what you saw?
Yeah, I would. Sure, I would. I see no reason why I wouldn't. It's been somewhat stressful because I've talked to several people and you know the way I see it is I agree with you. It, we do need to take that step and go with it and go public. So yeah, I would. I have no reason why I wouldn't.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Callers, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Yes, Gary.
Good evening, Leroy.
Yes, sir.
Is this the first UFO you have witnessed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd seen other lights in the past and, you know, seen things, but as far as actually focusing in and seeing something, what I believe not to be normal, yes, sir. You know, every once in a while you'll stare at a planet and it'll change colors or maybe look like it'll change colors, but I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen really anything move like this.
Well, you have joined a group of tens of millions of people across the world that have seen strange things. And, you know, you are to be commended for coming out and stating what you have seen.
I agree.
And I thank you.
Well, don't thank me. It's just what you did, and you are to be commended for it. And I wish other people in your community would come out and state what they have seen. And my only regret is nobody had a camera.
Well, you now, know? Wait a minute. I got to tell you this, Gary. I did talk with a witness today who may have some video, and we'll just have to see how that unfolds. So there's a possibility.
And likewise, I am going to, by this time tomorrow, I would have seen a video clip of possibly of the same thing that I saw. And I really can't wait to see this tomorrow.
So we might have, in the days ahead, we may start seeing some videos or photographs of this.
I would, I'm waiting on the edge of my seat to see if something does come up. That would be great.
I am too.
All right, Gary, thank you for the call. Very quickly, if we have just one or two more callers, very quickly, 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. It's toll-free throughout North America. Well, you heard, Leroy, you heard. You've joined a group of tens of millions of people across the world who have seen things like this. And really, that's what I mean when I say that, you know, media and public officials and business owners who want to ridicule or pressure or even threaten someone with their jobs just don't get it. I mean, the facts have, and the facts are pretty much known to the public, and the public has passed their tolerance of that kind of activity. And I think you've done exactly the right thing. And I'll tell you something else. It does us all good to hear an account of an event like this from someone like you. You have to be very level-headed and feet-on-the-ground kind of a person to do what you do every day. And to hear an account of this event from someone like you is very important for us. And the importance of it goes way outside of your own community. I don't know if that fact has hit you yet.
It really hasn't, but, you know, the more and more I talk to you, the more light you shed to it. I am glad that I came forward. And like I said, I had really nothing to gain. Had a lot to lose, because didn't know how people were going to react. And I'm sure you have a few that are out there that probably think, hey, this guy's gone off his rocker. But the majority of the people, and like I said, there's been more and more prominent people that have come up to me and are calling me and said, hey, I saw something also. I was afraid. I'm glad you came out, because now I know that I wasn't crazy, and really, you know, I'm not embarrassed. And so, yeah, I do thank you for that, and I thank you for shedding some light on that for me.
I'll tell you something else. When I said it goes beyond your community, what you are doing, just the fact that you came out and told what you saw, and because of who you are and in your community, that goes way beyond your community. Right now, as we speak, people in 70 countries are listening to us. And I think it's very important for them to hear that we do have public officials that are willing to come out and just tell the truth, and I think that's important. One more quick call here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Yes, good evening, Kevin.
Good evening.
Good evening, Constable.
Good evening. I can barely hear you.
Well, I'll try to speak up a little bit.
Okay.
Do you have any advice for other constables or policemen in little towns when something like this might happen?
Okay, I had a little bit of trouble. I caught.
Okay, he wants to know if you could offer some words of wisdom or advice to other policemen or constables in other towns if something like this were to happen for them.
The advice I would give them, first of all, I did have a camera in my car that night, but because I was wanting to see what it was, I never got the camera. The first thing I've got now, I've got a camera in my car within arm's reach. But, you know, to snap a picture, I do have a video camera, but I wasn't working that night. But I guess the one thing I would say to them is, you know, you've got to go with your gut instinct and speak out on what you believed and what you saw. Do not be afraid. You would be doing the right thing by going public or by telling someone. It's not going to do anybody any good to keep it to yourself.
All right, Michelle, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. And I want to thank him for being so strong of character to come out and voice what he saw himself. A UFO is like you said, Kevin, a UFO, an unidentified flying object.
Yeah.
He knows what it is, where it comes from. But if we don't identify him, someday it's going to be what happened in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, well, I think it's very important, you know, even if we don't know what it is, maybe specifically because we don't know what it is, it's important for as many witnesses as possible to step forward and say what they saw. And thank you for the call, Michelle. You know, Constable, when there's a crime and you weren't there, you didn't see it, and you're trying to get information to identify the culprit. The more witnesses that step forward and give you information, the better you are as you investigate.
Correct.
And I see it that way for these investigators from MUFON and for others who are investigating and researching about this event. The more witnesses that will step forward and say what they saw and, you know, date, time, your location, where you were, the circumstances around you, and what caused you to notice it, and then what did you see? Those things help the investigators to pin this down. Can you take one more call, sir?
Yes, sir. I'll take one more, and then I'm going to have to leave, Mr. Smith.
I understand. I do understand the call of the badge. All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Leroy, this isn't for you. It's more for Kevin. But, Kevin, do you remember when you were talking about the Phoenix Lights and you said that something about if someone threatened you for your job because you came out, you could sue them and win?
Oh, yeah.
I think you might want to go through that again.
I will once Leroy is not with us anymore. What do you think about him coming out?
Leroy, thank you and congratulations. You've got guts.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Brent. Leroy, I know that you have to go. I know that you have duties to attend to. I want to thank you again. Number one, for being the man you are and standing up and just telling what you saw and not running for cover as people started asking questions. Number two, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us this evening. And I know you're very, very busy, and this was a bit of a sacrifice for you to be on the show this evening. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, okay?
All right. And you have a good evening and stay safe out there.
You too, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Constable Leroy Gayton out of Erath County in Texas. You see it in the newspapers and hear it on television. They call it Stephenville, Texas. That's one of the towns there. But it's not the only town there. There's also Dublin. And apparently he lives either in or just near Dublin and is a witness to this phenomenal event that took place. It's my understanding that there's been more than one sighting. Now, let me say that if we have listeners in the Stephenville, Dublin area who are witnesses to the event, you saw the thing in the sky, whatever it was, please call. And I'd love to hear from you as well. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. Now, you know, it's quite a different set of circumstances now. When the Phoenix Lights happened, you had politicians running for cover. Except for Frances Emma Barwood, who just stood up. She didn't even see it, but she said, well, now, wait a minute. We've got a lot of people that voted for us that want to know what's going on, and I want to know who's investigating this. Well, she was subjected to ridicule. She was subjected to all kinds of really cheap politics and political attacks. She even had guns. She had gunfire directed at her. And, you know, it's quite different now, and it should be. As she certainly is to be commended because she held firm. And to this day, you know, she's been on this show. To this day, she holds firm and tells her story. And she interviewed over 700 people who were witnesses to the Phoenix Lights. And she's certainly to be commended. But here in Erath County, we have a different story. And the difference in the story, of course, the lights are different. The description of whatever it was is different. But we also have a different story in terms of people's reaction to it. The press has generally handled this with some integrity, with some journalistic integrity. And I want to say again to Lana Berkowitz of the Houston Chronicle, kudos. What a great bit of reporting on this this phenomenal event. And I appreciate you for that. And let me ask the audience, please email the Houston Chronicle and thank them for Lana Berkowitz reporting on the Stephenville UFO sightings. You can go to the Houston Chronicle website and see her report. She just did, I think, a phenomenal job of getting the story told. No laughing, no ridicule, just straight reporting, and that's all anybody could ask. You know, I also don't want to see, I don't like to see all that ridicule, but I also don't want to see reporting that sort of takes the, oh my God, this is it approach. And you see some of that, especially on the internet. But she did what I think every reporter should do, which is ask the questions, get as much information as you can, and simply report the information. And I thought it was a great bit of reporting. And the Houston Chronicle certainly is to be commended as well. The editor in charge of making sure that that was published, thank you. Very credible job, and you're to be commended for that. Also, Ms. Hernandez, I believe it's Susan Hernandez, from the television station, what a great report. Same thing, journalistic integrity, and she's to be commended for that. Now, you may see things differently than I do about all of this. You may, maybe you are a professional debunker, and you'd like to call in and tell me that I'm half a bubble off a center. That's okay. I'll pay for your telephone call as well. 1-800-289-1092. And you maybe you have seen a vehicle in the sky similar to what was described here tonight, maybe in Erath County, maybe somewhere else. We'd love to hear from you. I'm convinced that something that's a mile wide or a mile long and half a mile wide doesn't fly through our skies to be seen only by a few folks, but I think something like that is probably seen in other places around the country, and maybe it just doesn't get reported as well as this one got reported. But if you've seen something like that, we'd love to hear from you. It's possible that right now I'm speaking to people. In fact, it's almost certain that I'm speaking to people who saw the Phoenix Lights. You saw them with your own eyes, not the videos of them. You saw them with your own eyes. And I'd love to hear from you about what you saw. And I'd like to ask you some questions about what you've experienced since then. It is my opinion that there has been a sea change. I sort of predicted that the article coming out of Chicago signaled a sea change. And I can't really say I predicted it. I expressed my hope that it would be. And I think it may have been, actually. I think I may have hit that one right on target. Now, the thing that Brent was talking about, you know, there are laws that protect you if someone wants to harm you financially as a result of you saying, I saw a UFO. Now, if they don't want to vote for you for president, fine. If they decide they don't want, you're a pastor of a church and they don't want to go to your church anymore. Hey, you know, it's a free country. But if they make decisions that are harmful to you financially, and by that I mean they say, we're going to fire you because you said you saw a UFO, or we're not going to hire you because you are open-minded about the possibility of extraterrestrial intelligent beings actually existing, there are laws that will protect you. But you have to file a lawsuit against them, and if you do, you will win. You have to prove that they actually have taken these decisions based on your UFO sighting or based on your statement that somewhere you made a statement that you think it's probable that there's intelligent extraterrestrial life out there. And once you prove that linkage and you show that they have then taken decisions that harm you financially and commercially, they're in big, big trouble. And you will win. Not you might win. You will win, because the preponderance of the scientific evidence is on your side. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Louie from Connecticut.
Yes, Louie.
Yeah, you know what worries me, Kevin?
What's that?
All these sightings that we see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to be so large? You know, it, like, is it a passenger craft or is it a cargo craft? There's a reason. There's got to be a reason to be so big. I mean, that's the passenger craft. That's a lot of passengers on there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not convinced that that's a mothership. I think a mothership is going to be bigger, and I know you didn't call it that. But I think a mothership would be bigger. So I would say this is probably a daughter ship, and I don't know what else to call it. And I'm curious as to what you think the purpose would be for it being so large.
I got the feeling that something is happening. You know, we're all exciting, we're seeing all over the world, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're getting ready to watch something like at an arena, like something's coming, and they're getting ready for it, because there's too many sightings, and these things are so huge. You know, it's not like a little jet, like a little Learjet. I mean, these things are huge. So I got the feeling that something's going to happen in the next few months or a couple years or whatever. It worries me to see how big these things are. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm already... good or bad, you know, I just don't know. I worry, you know, when I see how large these things are, you know, if, like you say, if it's a passenger, that's a lot of passengers either way. If it's a cargo plane, is it empty or are they ready to pick something up?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I have to say, you know. And
well, one of the theories that I've heard, and I don't know if I would buy this theory, but one of the theories that I've heard is that they've come to help us, and those are big rescue craft, and that there's bunches of them out there, and they're going to take us to another planet because this one's about to blow. Well, I don't buy that, but I've heard that.
Nah, I don't buy that either, because we just don't know.
Yeah, it is mysterious, very mysterious. What do you think about the constable? What do you think about his fortitude?
Great. He's really great for coming on. I don't think I could have did that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got a lot of guts. He has a lot of guts. You know, but you know, something's going to happen. I don't know. I just feel it in my bones, Kevin. You know, these things, wherever they come from, they're starting to show themselves more often now. And they got a lot of guts for doing it during the day, at a certain time in the evening, all over the cities, all over.
Yeah.
Spread.
Yeah, they're not hiding.
You know, they're not hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I think our government knows, too. They keep it very quiet about it.
Well, that very well could be. Louie, we're headed into a break. I thank you for your call. Very interesting observation. Yeah, what's up? And what's the deal with these very large craft like we saw with the Phoenix Lights? And then this craft down in Texas, a mile long and half a mile wide. That's a big, big mama jama. We'll be back right after this.
Es mejor no llorar y callar mi dolor. He cerrado mi corazón en un grito ilógico de profundos sentimientos que se enredan en tu piel. Me convertí en roca. No hay brillo en mi sueño. Quiero sufrir, no quiero amar, tengo miedo a sentir, me convertí en roca, no hay brillo en mis sueños. Es mejor no mirar, es mejor ignorar, es mejor no vivir que seguir sin final. Me he negado a sentir la ternura del amor, a las noches estrelladas que me daban tu calor, me convertí en no quiero llorar, ni quiero sufrir, no quiero amar, tengo miedo a sentir, me convertí en roca, no hay brillo en mi sueño. Tengo miedo a llorar, tengo miedo a estar sin ti.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We are talking this evening about this very interesting event that took place in Texas, in the area of Stephenville, Texas, Dublin, Texas, Erath County, Texas. For your information, that's not too far from Fort Worth. Now, I'm interested. Of course I'm interested. You know, we had the constable on from Erath County talking about what he saw. And we talked a little bit about, you know, his coming forward and, you know, would he do it again? And he said, yeah, absolutely. He sees no reason why not. And he says he's received no pressure from anybody about this. And that's a good thing. So obviously, if we have anyone else in the area around Erath County there that saw this thing, I'd like to hear from you. I did talk to some witnesses today. And, I tried to get one of them to come on, and he gave me reasons for why he does not want to come on at this time, which I will not disclose to you at this time, but they are, it's not that somebody has threatened him, but there are reasons that I think certainly are valid. And he says that he will come on at some point in the future. So if you are in Erath County, you saw this thing, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you saw and what you think it was. But also, for the rest of our audience, here we've got an elected official. Yes, he's law enforcement, but it's an elected position, which in a lot of countries you can't imagine that, but we have that here. Constables are elected, and also sheriffs are elected, but they are law enforcement officials. In fact, the most powerful law enforcement officer in a county is the sheriff. That's an elected position, but it's law enforcement. So, yeah, we have that here in the United States. Now, here you have an elected official who came on and talked to us, but he's already gone public and talked to the world and said, here's what I saw. I don't know what it was, but I know what it was not. It was not an airplane of any kind. No sound. It was gigantic, and it flew faster than anything that he had ever seen. So it was low, it was fast, and it was silent, made no sound whatsoever. And he spoke out about it. Now, I think that's a good thing. I think that other public officials around the world should do the same thing. And yet, we still find that there are people who want to laugh. It's the small, small, and growing smaller vestiges of the elite that do it, that ridicule and laugh when someone says, hey, I saw a UFO. I don't know what it was, but I saw it. It's the dwindling population of elite that laugh at that. And what they don't realize is that the masses of billions of people have already passed them in knowledge and understanding of this phenomena. Sometimes I take it on the chin. It goes with the territory. What can I say? But sometimes I take it on the chin when I say, I don't believe in UFOs. But that's because people don't listen to the whole statement when I say, neither do I disbelieve. What is there to believe? I mean, that's, if you see it, you see it, right? That's like telling me you saw a Chevrolet. That's like telling me you saw a Rolls Royce. You say you saw it? Okay, you saw it. There's nothing for me to believe. If you see a Rolls Royce, Do you sit down and ponder whether to believe in Rolls Royces or not? If you see a Corvette, do you sit down then and ponder whether you should believe in Corvettes? Now, I take it on the chin because I'm very politically incorrect. I guess what I say is probably rough on some people's feelings, and if it is, I'm truly sorry. Believe me. Nah, I wouldn't. I don't really care if it hurts your feelings because I want you to come to the truth. The truth is there's nothing to believe. Either they exist or they don't. You see a newspaper, do you sit down and ponder whether you should believe in newspapers? You saw one. There's nothing to believe. Now, it is true that we don't know where these things come from, these UFOs. It is true, and I say we, I'm talking about the general public. We don't know where they come from. We don't know who's driving them. We don't know if it's robots. We don't know if it's terrestrials and that this is some kind of really super high technology. We don't know if it's extraterrestrial. We don't know that. We don't know what their purpose is. There are a lot of things we don't know and that we can think about and speculate about and ask questions about and investigate and wonder about and ponder. But when you see it, it's up there in the sky. You see it. Other people see it. Cameras take pictures of it. What is there to ponder about whether it exists or not? And that's why, you know, I watched this show on television, Larry King Live, and watched this debunker that was on there. And, of course, they always have the, it's a requisite debunker. But, okay, fine. But, I mean, debunkers have nothing to say that's even relevant or germane. When they try to convince you that you did not see what you saw. On the other hand, there's nothing to believe either. I mean, they're fighting against, a debunker is fighting against belief. Okay, fine. But there's nothing to believe. It's a straw fight. It's a fight with only one dog in it. That's the debunker. There's nothing to believe. If you saw it, you saw it. Would you agree with me that there's never been a great debate over whether or not steam locomotives exist? I mean, once you've seen one, you've seen it. There's nothing to ponder. There's nothing to believe. It's there. Would you agree with me that that would be a stupid debate? Would you agree with me that it's a stupid debate to debate over whether the Eiffel Tower exists? Now, I've never seen the Eiffel Tower. I've never been there. But people who have been to Paris have seen it. They've taken their cameras out and shot pictures of it. There are tons of videos and movies that include images of the Eiffel Tower. Would you think if I then came on a radio show and began to debunk the existence of the Eiffel Tower, would you think that that would be totally insane, inane, stupid? Well, that's what a UFO debunker is. Inane, stupid. It's an argument against reality. Now, I don't believe the Eiffel Tower is there. I know it is. How do I know it is? Well, it's written about by thousands of people. There's millions of photographs of it. There are miles and miles of video footage and film of it. And video cameras and still cameras do not photograph hallucinations. The same thing applies when we're talking about unidentified flying objects. The same exact set of arguments apply. Now, maybe you think I'm wrong. Maybe you think I'm off my rocker. Maybe you think I'm nuts. If so, I'd like to hear from you. Maybe you agree. If so, I'd like to hear from you. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. It's toll-free throughout North America. I pay for the call. We'll be back right after this. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. During the break, I did get a flash message from, I'm not going to read the name, and the reason I'm not going to read the name is because I don't want the person to feel like I'm targeting I'm just going to take the idea, okay? And it says, in essence, that I, you know, my comment that if what I say, being politically incorrect about this, if it hurts somebody's feelings about it, I don't really care, because I want you to think about it and sort of get to the point and get to the truth, okay? And the email says that I should care because feelings are very important. Yes, I want to tell you that feelings are very important in a relationship. Feelings are very important in terms of your frame of mind about things, especially if you're a person given to feelings. And I don't deny that fact. Okay, it's not that I don't have feelings. It's not that I don't have emotions. But here's what it is. It is that how you feel about something has absolutely nothing to do with whether it is true or not. How you feel about 2 + 2 = 4 has nothing to do with whether that is a true statement or not. 2 + 2 = 4. And, you know, if you feel or believe that you can fly and you step off a 10-story building, we will all see the results of your belief on the pavement below. You can't fly. Doesn't matter how strongly you believe it or how you feel about it. You were not built to fly, and you can't. Now, when we talk about UFOs, it doesn't matter what you believe about UFOs. You believe they exist or you believe they do not exist. Has absolutely no bearing on the facts at all. Not at all. Either they do or they don't exist. One or the other. If they do not exist, how do you explain the miles, the mountains of photographs of things in the sky that cannot be explained even by the professional investigators of the various militaries around the world? How do you explain that? If they don't exist, how did the camera take pictures of them? So you see, how we feel about it. Now, you know, do I have feelings? Sure, it excites me. I have feelings about UFOs. I'm interested in them. I'm excited about them. I think they're cool. I don't know what they are. I don't pretend to know what they are. That's why we talk about them, to try and come up with some kind of information about what they are. I don't know. Do I have feelings about UFOs? Sure, just like anybody else would. But you see, I understand that how I feel about UFOs and what I may or may not believe, it has absolutely no impact on the facts. It has no impact on the truth. And so it's important for us to understand that if we're ever going to get to the bottom of this story, we have to approach it like investigators. We don't approach it with our feelings. We don't approach it with our beliefs. We approach it and say the data says whatever the data says, and the data leads wherever it leads. There are people that will email me after either I or a guest has been on the show and made the statement that a very large percentage of UFO sightings are very likely simply the tests of very advanced technology that's being developed right here on the planet. We know that to be a case. We know that to be the truth, because we know that some very advanced aircraft does get test flown, and some of it doesn't look like aircraft we've seen before and doesn't behave like aircraft that we've seen before. We know that. But I'll get email sometimes from people after I've made that statement or someone else makes that statement. And the email is just very scorching. You know, how could I say something like that? I obviously do not believe in UFOs. And here I've got a show that talks about UFOs and I don't even, I must be a debunker. Oh, get off of it. Get a life. The point is, the data is what the data is. And the data is that, yes, a great percentage of UFO sightings very likely is terrestrial technology. On the other hand, a few percentage points cannot be explained, not even by the experts who are building that technology. Project Blue Book said so, and some of you say, oh, well, that was a cover-up. Well, yeah, maybe, but I'll tell you something else it was. It was a statement by the U.S. government that there are some of these cases that we cannot explain. And when they made that statement in Project Blue Book, they were making an official declaration that UFOs, unidentified flying objects, exist. And here are some in this report that we cannot identify. And then I hear people, in personal conversations with people, I hear people at that point come back with something like, well, that doesn't mean it's from another planet. Nobody said it was. Again, stop feeling, start thinking. This thing about UFOs is a wonderful mystery. It is absolutely a marvelous mystery. We'll get to the bottom of it someday. We'll find out. We'll know someday. Right now, it's a great mystery. And while it is, we have to think. We have to consider. Not feel, not believe, but think and consider. Because regardless of what we believe, the truth is still going to be what the truth is. Regardless of how we feel, the truth is still going to be whatever the truth is. And I think that we ought to be all about looking for the truth. That's one of the reasons that I really commend Constable Larry Gayton for standing up, speaking up, telling what he saw, and not running for cover. He's an elected official. He's a law enforcement officer. He is standing up tall and saying, yes, I saw it. Here is what I saw. Don't know what it was, but here is what I saw. And that's important. And I hope that other elected officials, and I know there are some of you listening to this show every night, I hope you have the same spine. If you are faced with a sighting like he was faced with, if you see it, say it. Don't run from it. Don't laugh it off. Don't ridicule it. Say it. Because the American people, and I don't know about every other country, but the American people in great majority have already run right past all of those cover stories, all right? Tomorrow night, my guest is Stephen Greer. Be sure you're here and be sure that you are ready to hear what he has to say and to think about it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.